consider to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. That's purely my opinion, but I'm right. Recovery Radio is it's an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center, and they are located at 531 South Main Street, Suite B in Moscow. Their phone number is 208-883-1045. Their hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and they are open Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 1 for AA meetings only. The web address is latahrecoverycenter.org, and their email address is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Johnny. I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and a very happy volunteer on the radio. And who are you, young lady?
I'm Denise Miller, and I am a grateful recovered addict. And it's warm outside, but I'm glad to be inside here because it is much cooler, and also glad to be here with everyone listening in and with you, Johnny.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's always good to have you here with me to keep me on task. So.
Yeah, we do pretty good at team effort thing. So
that's right.
That works out good. As in recovery, like the accountability is really helpful and you don't have to go it alone kind of a thing, you know?
That's right. We
maybe
don't
that's
have
what
to
it
do
is.
This alone.
That's, right? I just always need somebody to
that's why
partner up with.
When we get abandoned here, when one of us has obligations like my impending federal jury duty, woohoo, we don't have to prattle alone. We can usually always drag somebody in here with us.
Right, exactly.
Even if they just watch.
You always go down to the recovery center and just be like, come on, guys, we need somebody. Come on in. And
really?
There's always somebody in recovery down there willing to come and share their story or where they are with things. So
there you go. Good. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's up on the LRCC calendar? I guess we can run through it today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Your mic is flaking out on you. Why don't you grab a fresh one? Go
to the counter.
All righty. We got June at the Latah Recovery Community Center. We have recovery coaching and peer support, and that's every day and by appointment. We have Alcoholics Anonymous every day at noon. We have positive affirmations Mondays from 1 to 2. Life skills on Mondays from 4 to 5. Bead workshop with artist Janine Leffingwell, and that's Monday, June 10th, so we missed that one, but the 24th, and that's at 6 p.m. I hear that was fun. I talked to some people about that. Let's see. We have AA Big Book Study. That's Tuesdays at 1:30. That's a new one. Cool. Chess with Steve, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6. Narcotics Anonymous, Tuesdays and Fridays at 5:30. There's a free meal or snack sponsored by Good Sam, and that's Tuesdays at 5:30 until they're out of food. Addiction Support Group, that's Tuesdays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Echo Online, Behavior Health and Opioid Addiction, and there are topics online that you can look at. Wednesdays from 11 to 12 or 11:15 to 12:15. I guess that's just in case there's time overlap. The MASH class or Mental and Addiction Self-Help, that's Wednesdays from 4 to 5. And I think our friend Charlisa, who was here last week,
yes,
runs that. She's a real interesting lady and really focused on her mental health. Positive Affirmations, Wednesday, 5 to 6. The Veterans Coffee and Bitch Session, which actually takes place at the American Legion Cabin on Howard Street. And that's on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. So it's coming up next week. And that's from 5 till 6:30, although they understand as long as you got something to say, there'll be somebody there. Recovery International Mental Health Self-Help, that's Wednesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. A new volunteer orientations are on Thursdays, 4 to 5, as well as the Mental Illness Support Group, also Thursday, 4 to 5. Right for You Support Group, which is open to all, is Thursdays, 5:30 to 6:30, and that starts today, May 16th. And then the Right for You Writing Lab, which is a closed group, is the first and fourth Thursdays at 7 to 8:30. LAMI, Family Support Program, is second Thursday of the month from 7 to 8:30, and that's tonight. All Recovery Meeting, Fridays 5 to 6. Young Adult Addiction Support Group, Fridays 7 to 8. And then Movies and Game Night. You can check the website, see what movie's playing. And that's Fridays from 6:30 till 9. Let's see. We passed up on the Peer Social Activity, which was Free Fishing Day at Spring Valley.
I think there might be another one coming up again this summer, though.
Free fishing?
Well, fishing activities? Was she saying that...
There might be just another fishing activity come up.
Might not be a free one, but it would be... Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. This was the Idaho Department of Fish and Games free for all day, which is once a year, usually in June, always in June, actually.
Cool.
Then we got Learn How to Crochet and Calm Your Mind. That's the fourth Saturday of the month from 10 to 12. And then Adult Children of Alcoholics Women's Meeting meets Sunday at 6 to 7:30. And classes and groups are always free and at cost, and they're open to everybody. And you can, again, look them up online at latarecoverycenter.org.
Excellent.
And find them on Facebook, too.
Yeah, you know, it just amazes me all the different groups and things that the Recovery Center comes up with to serve the community. I think that's really great. So, I mean... Sounds to me like if you've got an idea or if there's a need, you know, you can always go talk to Daryl or somebody there. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I mean, they really have over the last, what has it been, 3 years now?
Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've really done a great job over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's really always great. A smiling face when you come in the door.
It's pretty cool.
Even though when John Cook smiles at you, it's a little scary, but he's working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like super happy. It's pretty cool.
He is. So, and you had a couple of things.
And I was trying to remember what the second thing was, but I have one. And I did share about this last week, but I wanted to share again. So, Celebrate Recovery is doing a masquerade walkathon. It's a 10K, and it will be June 29th, which is a Saturday at the end of the month, at 12:30 p.m. at Gormley Park. And there's a chance to win a 6-month membership to Anytime Fitness. So let me tell you what this is about. So Celebrate Recovery, their meetings are Friday night from 7 to 9, and they're held at Real Life Church here in town. They're not actually like a part of Real Life Church, but Real Life allows them to have their meetings there. That's very nice of them. But It is a part of what's called Project Hope, not to be, it's not the Hope Center, but it's a nonprofit that's called Project Hope. And one of the things that Project Hope does is celebrate recovery. So Celebrate Recovery does prison ministry in Orofino and in Cottonwood. And they have had the same van now for quite some time, many, many, many years. And they have about 230,000 miles on it. And it is needing to be replaced with a new used van, which I hear Sherry Hall has a line on up in Spokane. She's going to get a really good discount. But they're trying to raise money for this van. And then also what's left is going to go for the leaders. Currently there are, I believe, 19 leaders, and which is really great because the more leaders that we have, the more step studies we can run. There's been some talk about some getting one of the CR, it's basically the same kind of thing, but it would be for teenagers. There's also a couple other classes that have been talked about, and I'm not remembering the other couple off the top of my head, but the more leaders that we have and the better trained they are, the more we can provide for our community in recovery.
Expansion, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always important.
It is, because Celebrate Recovery, the step study that was actually written by Rick, come on, help me out here. Rick Warren and John Baker out of Saddleback Church in California many, many, many years ago has, basically, it's not just for the addict or the alcoholic. It's hurts, habits, and hangups. And so basically, you know, if you're going through a divorce or you've, I don't know, just any kind of hurt, habit, hang up. I mean, there's a lot of different things that encompasses.
Getting bullied in high school. Yeah, you're having problems with your work.
It's just
problems in your family.
I would say that it, you know, helps with, and I'm not saying it's specifically like a grief thing, but I do know that there are people there that have come and, you know, healed in the grief area and stuff like that. I will say it's biblically based, but you do not have to have, you know, a faith of that kind. It's kind of like when you go to NA or AA, and you know, you have a choice.
It's
written that way. It's written with God, Jesus in it, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's got a Christian spin to it, but it's it probably spiritually, as I have found, spiritually relatable.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's welcome. So basically the walkathon is to raise money for the van, and then like I said, what's left over will go towards training for the leaders.
And I would imagine the way you raise the fund is you get people to sponsor you.
Yes,
and
so let me explain that part. Because, I don't think I was going to leave that out, but I might have. So you can either register to walk, and you go to masqueradewalk.com, or you can go to masqueradewalk.com to make a donation. And you can pick a particular person. Like, for instance, if you wanted to go on there and pick Denise Davis Miller, that would be me. You could make a donation to me, and I'd be okay with that because it's all going for a good cause. Or you could just go on there and just make a donation. Like, you could go on, pick a person that's involved. I think we're up, I want to say 17 people walking or more. I'm not sure. But you could, you know, you could pick somebody, or you could just make a donation. Or it's super easy to sign up. I literally, Johnny, did this without any help. I signed up without any help.
Wow.
Yeah. That's saying a lot. Okay. Because I'm 45 and we didn't grow up with the internet. So, you know.
You're just a little technically challenged.
Yeah.
But you're a fast learner.
Right.
So I'm proud of you, though.
Thank you. When I say it's easy, I honestly mean that it is actually easy to do. Like, straight up.
Click, click, click. Fill in the blanks.
And, you know, there's sayings like, oh, yeah, a 10-year-old could do it. You know what I mean? But no, it's easier than that. Because I know my 10-year-old daughter knows how to do all that kind of stuff. So
sign up and go for beautiful walk on the Chipman Trail. And 10K is not...
It's a little over like six miles.
6 miles.
Mm-hmm. It's under 7 miles. And there was some debate. I looked it up and I thought it said 6.7 miles. Sherry was thinking it was 6.1. So, you know, she might mark it at 6.1. I don't know. But so we'll just start out at that Gormley Park, which is actually right by West Park School, West Park Elementary School. It's kind of by the climbing wall. It's kind of across the way from there.
Yeah,
it is. It's a cute little park. And it actually makes it a really great place to start. It's nice and shaded and stuff like that. I'm going to have one of those little water backpack things, but Sherry has set up She's going to have water stations along the way and awesome. Everything like yeah. that. Yeah,
you can always go for a swim in the creek.
Right, you know.
No,
I mean, if you
don't do that.
If you don't mind whatever the little goodies yeah. that you'll bring home with that.
Right, exactly. just some leeches.
I'm just going to, like, wet my shirt down and wear a hat and, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know how to do this.
There you go.
I mean, maybe not the 10K part, but how to stay cool. So
yeah, there you yeah. go. That'll right. work. Well, fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous, fabulous. Yeah, so, and if you think yeah. about that other thing you wanted to talk about.
I'll let you know. Oh, we'll real quick, though, I'm going to spell out Masquerade. Masquerade. Walk. Yeah. Because I feel like I might have to actually take a minute to try to figure out how to spell Masquerade. So, all right.
Yeah, it's not something that we typically use
yeah,
on a daily
not a whole
basis.
Lot. I asked Siri.
Maybe closer to Halloween, maybe.
Yeah,
see it a
Siri
more
spells common. For me. Oh, and I will say with that is you don't need to wear any kind of costume or whatever. That was just an idea. You can come as you are or wear a costume or
sure.
not.
Sure, or you could wear, you know, just like
gym clothes.
An eye mask.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, anything. You could be a superhero.
There you
like,
go.
Like, Sherry's done little videos, and I think maybe they're on the site, too, where she's dressed up as a superhero or a bunny or a bee. It's totally cute.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So. Exactly.
All right.
Okay, and today, you know, it occurred to me, having seen a lot of people come into AA, if you've never been to an AA meeting and you wanted to go to an AA meeting, either, you know, because you want to try and find some of the help that's offered there, or if you maybe just want to understand about AA, maybe you have a loved one who you'd like to see go to AA, but, you know, they're unsure about it, you're unsure about it, or maybe you even know someone who goes mm-hmm. to AA and you notice the difference in them. And yeah. it's like, what is this magic,
right.
you know?
Because you may or may not understand, you know, addiction or, you know, alcoholism or anything
right.
like that.
Exactly.
They could really help you understand that it's not just your loved one
right.
that acts that way.
Right. And there are even, I have had experiences where at open meetings, folks have come in who are nurses in training or doctors in training.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And they come in to try and get a little bit of an understanding of alcoholism mm-hmm. and addiction in general and what this program does and why it works for so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, millions of people around the world have come into this program and found sobriety and maintained it.
Yeah.
And doctors will tell you there's no magic pill for it.
No, actually, the magic pill will get you a pill addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
exactly.
saying.
yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, at least
like
me.
it's like the joke, right? You know, I hear there's a pill that cures
right.
addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what two will
right.
do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the addictive
it's my
mind.
Thinking. Yeah.
So I thought I'd go over a little bit about, you know, what exactly an AA meeting is and how it works. And starting at the beginning, you can find an AA meeting by you can look at their schedules. They have them online. Typically, they're printed in newspapers, and you can get a schedule at the Latah Recovery Community Center. Online, you can go to our local areas called District 22, and that pretty much covers the Moscow, Pullman, Colfax area. There's also District 7, which covers the Lewiston, Clarkston, the Valley area, and areas beyond.
And I'm going to jump in and say real quick that there's literally on my iPhone, I don't know if it works for everyone's phones, if you're not iPhones, but there is an app for NA meetings and AA, and it has where you can pick the local ones near you,
right.
or you can look around. They also have like the Just for the Day and different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spent a lot of time on it, but I have been on it a little bit, so just want to mention that you can even get an app on your phone,
right? And for locally, for both District 22 and District 7, you just go online to district22aa.org and you can find them there. And literally, there's a meeting every night of the week in Moscow and Pullman. There's new meetings every day at the Latah Recovery Center.
Do they still do the like 6 a.m. meetings in the area? I'm sorry, am I asking you questions that you may not know? I remember 5 years ago going to some meetings, and I think that they were AA meetings.
Yeah, it looks like there was one called the Too Damn Early meeting
right.
that used
yeah.
to meet over on campus
yep.
at the Catholic
That's
Church
the
at at like 6:30
Yeah.
I don't see it on the schedule anymore. So evidently they couldn't find anybody who could get up that early. However, now down in the valley, they do have, there's Sunday a 6:30 a.m. Monday a 6:15 Let's see, every day.
That's so kind of the thing. That like when there's a need, if there's enough people, usually, I mean, you guys figure out a way to make it happen, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
And if, you know, there's not enough attendance, well, then no need for a meeting.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to talk about open versus closed meetings. Mm-hmm. Now, open meetings, everybody's welcome. Visitors are welcome. People who are not, don't think they're alcoholics or, you know, just want to find out about AA are welcome to go to open AA meetings as visitors. And I'll get in a little bit about, you know, what a visitor is versus a member in a minute. And easy enough to find the difference. If you look at the meeting schedules, it'll usually have like the town it's in, what the name of the group or the meeting is, and then it will have a few letters after it. Usually, if in parentheses, if you see an O, it's an open meeting, and if you see a C, it's a closed meeting. And basically, closed meetings are reserved for people who have a desire to stop drinking. So if you're just curious about AA and want to go, or if you want to go as a guest of someone who's in the programs, you know, your spouse, your cousin, your friend, whatever, you're welcome at an open meeting. And the closed meetings are, the reason they're closed, there's a few different spins on it, but there are some people who take the concept of anonymity very seriously and want to be able to basically spill their guts about, you know, their life and their issues and stuff in a safe environment. And basically that's a closed environment.
That makes sense.
And membership is designed, is defined fairly clearly, and I'll get to that in a minute. So that's open and closed meetings.
Mm-hmm.
For most meetings, usually there's somebody anywhere from a half hour to 15 minutes before the meeting time to make coffee. Every meeting I've ever been to in my life
has coffee
or tea and water available. And an easy way to find an AA meeting, if you're unclear on the address, is just look for people standing around drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. That's a pretty
that's
sight.
how you can tell at the hospital where it's going
yeah,
on.
Near the back door of the church or back door of the hospital.
Yeah,
or
I was going to say, although I don't know if you can smoke at the back door of the hospital anymore.
You got to go out. You got to go out in the street.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good to get there early, especially if you're new or unfamiliar with it. Find these people, introduce yourself by your first name. They'll be happy to answer questions if you have any beforehand. And then the meeting starts there's typically a chairperson who runs the meeting, so to speak. Basically, they just keep track of time and take care of some of the business aspects of it. And meetings, all the meetings in this area and most I've been to, they'll open with the serenity prayer, which is the basic, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay.
Yeah. And so on. And there's more.
Well, there's a longer version, but typically that's...
Guys do the short. It's been so long since I've done the short version. Awesome. Good for you guys. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover, so...
Right? Like, we don't have all day.
And then after the prayer, which is really offered for the still suffering alcoholic, typically the chairperson or somebody he or she designates will read the AA preamble, which is as follows. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. And here's where the membership concept comes in. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So even though you see meetings at churches and hospitals and stuff, they're not allied with that sect, denomination, right, the politics, organization, or institution.
Yes.
That's why you will not see advertised with any of the rehab places, you know, AA sanctioned, AA authorized, right, AA affiliated.
It's just, yeah, it's just because, I mean, my best guess, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the churches and the hospitals will go ahead and allow the AA or NA to use the room without
That's
charging
right.
them. And so it's a safe, comfortable place for people to have meetings.
Right, right. Yeah. And most churches and hospitals and such have
a conference
room or areas. And, you know, they understand the need.
Yeah.
And most AA groups, I would say almost all AA groups, pay something to those organizations for the use of the hall.
Okay.
And, you know, it may be whatever you can afford. Mm-hmm. When I was a treasurer for a group that met over at the hospital, we paid them, I think it was $50 a month, and there were two meetings. So we paid them $100 a month for the use of it.
Okay.
And the money went to their, the Gritman Foundation.
Excellent.
So they used it to buy comfort things for people in chemo.
That's awesome.
You know, whatever they want.
So basically,
to
it's going for something to help people in the community.
Yeah,
so
right,
that's
exactly.
awesome.
Yeah, and so, we're paying our way. That's the whole thing. We're our way.
And that is actually kind of good. You really tend to appreciate things more when you do give what you can for it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I like that.
Okay, and then after that, the chairperson will probably ask some of the members to read other things from the book Alcoholics Anonymous, which is also known as the Big Book. It's the Big Blue Book, which is our basic text. And usually that's they'll read something from Chapter 5, How It Works, and or maybe the steps and traditions. Mm-hmm. It varies from group to group, but there's usually something there. Mm-hmm. And then after that's done, a topic is suggested, or there may be a reading from an AA publication, typically the Big Book. The 12 steps and 12 traditions, which is also lovingly known as the 12 and 12. The book As Bill Sees It, or sometimes Daily Reflections, which is a book that, you know, has every day of the year in there.
Those are kind of cool to have.
different reflection on that by somebody based on something out of one of the other books.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, commented on, and there's many AA approved publications, but, these are the most commonly referenced ones. Mm-hmm. In a topic meeting, members will, after a topic is suggested, will share their experiences with the topics, you know, highlighting how the program of Alcoholics Anonymous helped them deal with situations relative to the topic. And, you know, time. Typically, they ask, depending on the size of the meeting, you know, it can be anywhere from, I've been in meetings with three people, and, you know, and two people talking about AA is a meeting, as far as I'm concerned. But I've been in groups where there's been hundreds of people, you know, or at least several hundred people, and they ask that, you know, if you're going to share, you take your time. And most of the meetings around here are not also what I call podium meetings. A lot of the older groups and bigger groups that I've been to down in California, they'll have a podium, and if you want to share, you go up to the podium and you share to the group. Typically here, sit in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more casual.
Yeah. Do you think that that's probably because the area has more population and so the meetings are bigger?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's just a way to keep order a little bit better. Plus, if you have that large group of people, a circle is a little impractical.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, we'd always made a circle as well. So,
but if you got if you got 75 people in a room, easier for somebody to walk up to the front to be able
to talk. I agree. And for people to be able to hear them as
Right. So they talk about, you know, that topic or, you know, whatever. If something's bugging you or you don't know how to deal with something, you might want to share your struggle.
Yeah.
And although most meetings don't encourage crosstalk, as in me telling you, you should do this.
Right.
I might, you might say, I'm having trouble with my kids. They're driving me crazy and I think I'm going to murder them. Mm-hmm. And I might say, well, this is how, you know, I dealt with my children in the summer and these circumstances.
And by the way, for anybody who does not have sense of humor, we're this is a sense of humor moment.
Right.
We did not mean literally murdering your children.
Right.
Just to make sure that we just in case someone doesn't understand.
Right. That's
but
right.
Yeah, so then you would share maybe how...
What I dealt with, what I have learned in the program and that has helped me to deal with that.
Right, because you're sticking
situation.
With I statements, I'm assuming.
Right.
And talking about your experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty typical at your meetings that you use I statements and talk about your own feelings and experiences and not like necessarily like your spouse's feelings and experiences.
Right, exactly.
You can't really do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also when you deal with, when you use I statements, like you said, it, you know, I usually start out with it. It is my experience that if I do this, X will happen.
Right. Because, I mean, we don't typically want to get up and do anything like, you know, you should do this or you should do that.
Right. That would be considered crosstalk, and that's that is discouraged.
Yeah.
Mainly because we're alcoholics. Most of us have spent a fair amount of our life screwing things up. So, you know, giving advice is probably the last thing you want to accept. So, okay, and then in a book study meeting, members will typically read from one of the publications, and usually that's the Big Book or the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. And then once they get done reading a chapter or a certain amount of pages from those, they'll talk relative to that, share relative to that. Now, in open meetings, again, where, you know, visitors are allowed, visitors are typically asked not to participate in the share. That's the privy of the of the members. But if you have a question about it or somebody says something interesting, you can always wait till the after the meeting and go find them and talk to them about it.
Yeah.
AAs are very happy to talk about what's going on, what they meant if people didn't necessarily understand it. And I tell you what, although there's a lot of things in this program that normal, healthy thinking people can apply to their lives, a lot of it seems like, well, that's common sense. Well, that's true. But amongst alcoholics, common sense is not necessarily all that common.
I was going to say I lost my common sense.
We got to work
after a while in of being an addict. So, yeah.
And, then after we get into that, we go on to some other things. But I think right now we'll take a break because my voice is starting to get a little
I just get
dry.
To kick back and you get to do all the talking. This is great.
Because I'm John and John and John.
Yep.
So let's...
You're listening to KRFP in Moscow, Pullman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a little Jimi Hendrix, Star Spangled Banner. Remind y'all, tomorrow is Flag Day, so get your stars and stripes out, or your rainbow flags, or whatever works for you. It's Flag Day.
It is, and I guess that means that they are going to put all the flags up downtown and on the highway out by where I live. It's pretty nice. I like it that they do. That looks pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just a little patriotic thing that's good to do every once in a while and remember, you know, why those red stripes are there for the people that sacrificed the most.
Thinking it's probably the
veterans.
Jeez, right? It was all that Jimi Hendrix that killed my brain.
There you go. Yeah, flashbacks. Yeah.
No, I did not listen. I did not listen to Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, so we've been through most of the meeting at this point, and people have been sharing about a topic or something that was read in one of the books. And we get to a point, usually near the end of the group, where they pass the basket. And passing the basket is an observation of the seventh tradition, which states in the short form, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And the reason for that is, you know, goes back to, you know, what we read in the preamble, which is AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. And that keeps us off the hook to be beholden to anybody except the still suffering alcoholic.
Right, yeah.
Primary purpose, stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So no outside money. Typically people throw in a buck.
That's
it's kind of traditional, but you know, it doesn't mean you can't throw in
5 or 20. Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever you're comfortable with.
And from what I remember, you know, it helps cover the coffee and things like that for the meeting and, you know, and for the four walls that you're sitting in while you're having the meeting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Nobody in the group gets paid for anything.
Right. No. No. It's all volunteer.
This is all volunteer. So you know, they pass a basket. I've seen hats, tin cans, frisbees, you know, whatever's handy. Mm-hmm. And you're not required to contribute anything. So, like, right. if you can't or just don't want to, that's fine, yep. too. Come and get what you need and mm-hmm. leave it. And visitors specifically are asked not to contribute. Even though you think it's a great cause, mm-hmm. support the person you're there thinking of, but keep your dollar in your pocket. I mean, we understand your altruism is sincere, but it's a members only thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then at the end of the allotted time, chairperson, they may ask for announcements for, and this, sometimes they do it at the beginning, you know, any AA related announcements. Are there meetings coming up for the area assembly, for the district group? They have committees, and you know, for like reaching out to the professional community, they have committees for going into the jail and bringing the message into the jails, all sorts of things. And you know, members are encouraged to get involved with that. Other announcements, maybe another group's having a potluck dinner speaker meeting deal, which is kind of a cool thing. Get together, have a potluck meal, which are always really good. Alcoholics are great cooks. I don't know what the deal is.
I think Idahoans are good cooks.
Yeah, I think that's it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a speaker will come up and basically tell their story. Mm-hmm. And then people might share a little bit afterwards and then, you know, have dessert and go on your way. And usually they have those in the evenings. Although I think the third Wednesday of each month, the AA group at the Latah Recovery Center has a potluck lunch mm-hmm. and speaker. So, yeah. And then typically the meeting is closed around here. It's real common. Everyone stands up in a circle, holds hands, and they recite either maybe the Serenity Prayer, some do the Lord's Prayer, and some do a responsibility statement, which I personally like. Starts out with somebody saying, who's responsible? And the statement is, I'm responsible. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. And then we, you know, keep coming back. It works. It'd be worth it. Woohoo, go team and all that stuff. And the meeting ends. And after the meeting, you know, if you're a visitor or curious or a first timer or whatever, if you heard something you liked or you're curious about, it's a great time to grab that person, maybe help put chairs or tables away, whatever, and ask questions about it and find out more about it. Typically, new people, when they come in and they introduce themselves, most meetings ask, you know, if you're new to the meeting or the area or you're a visitor, you know, introduce yourself by your first name. Mm-hmm. So we can get to know you, and you'll be offered typically one of these schedules, and it's been my experience that these schedules will get passed around. If it's a man who's mm-hmm. new, it'll get passed around to the men. We put our names and our phone numbers on there.
Yeah.
So if you have a question, you want to talk, whatever, there's you know, typically anywhere, depending on the size of the meeting, but typically it was like 10 to 15 names and phone numbers on there. Mm-hmm. Call somebody up before you take the first drink if you think it's a problem.
Yep.
You know? And
I've had those lists before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been a part of my name on the lists, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, it's funny, is over the years I've probably filled out hundreds.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Of those forms. Yeah, hundreds for sure. And hundreds of those forms. I've probably only been called a dozen times. Because a lot of times, I remember even when I was early on, I go to these different meetings, you know, and you first come in, I get names. Because I got sober in San Francisco Bay Area in California, in the East Bay. Go Oakland. Go Warriors. Anyway, and, you know, I would take the list, fold it up, put it in my back pocket, and if I was lucky, I would take it out of my pocket and put it on my dresser before my pants went through the wash, which happened to a lot of the lists. They're not very legible after that. Mostly they're a lot of lint in the dryer, which is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, ink tends to run and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man, it's awful. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's how it wraps up, and that's how it works. So, you know, if you're curious and want to find out, go to a meeting, find an open meeting. If you have a desire to stop drinking, and that's what it says, the only requirement for membership, a desire to stop drinking. And if you were like me and had tried everything and just could not stop on your own,
there you go.
That's you meet the requirement. Mm-hmm. You just have a desire. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have, you know, come into meetings half in a bag, sometimes blitzed, and they're there because they've tried everything else. You know, I had to reach a certain level of desperation to get me to walk in that door, and it was not comfortable. And even though my mother had been in AA for like 10 years, and I used to shuttle, she didn't drive, so I shuttled her around to different meetings and potlucks and all this stuff. I never hung around, you know.
You were taxi service.
Right, right. And, you know, although I believe I've been an alcoholic since birth, I think I was predisposed to it. You know, my drinking had not gotten out of control during her lifetime. It was right at the end of her lifetime where I really became a dedicated daily drinker, a maintenance drinker. So, you know, even though I'd been around it, I sobered up for a couple of days, shook like a dog pooping peach pits and hallucinations and all that, which I don't recommend you do it on your own, because you can die. Withdrawals from alcohol are one of the few things that can kill you. From seizures, heart attacks.
And you can go to the hospital here, and they will let you come in, and they will take care of you.
They will treat you.
Just letting you know.
Yeah. And they have drugs now they can give you that can help minimize the severity of it. So that's also a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I stood outside the door looking in at the meeting at all these people talking, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes back then. You could still smoke indoors. And laughing. They were laughing. And I was pretty sure they have no idea how serious this is for me. You know, I'm dying, and I don't know any way out. And I stood there, and finally a guy inside noticed me standing out there, and he came out, and he goes, "You looking for an AA meeting?" And I said, yeah, even though I knew I was at an AA meeting. He said, "Well, come on in." And that's what it took to get me in the door. You know, I got an invitation into AA. So I walked in and did what a lot of, you know, newcomers, first-timers do. I you know, this was a bigger meeting. There was a big table that people sat around, then a bunch of chairs in the back, and I sat in the back row and back chair by myself, which, you know, put a huge target on me, new guy.
Because not like anyone's ever done that before.
Right, exactly. And I sat through the meeting, and I listened, and I heard some stuff, but I couldn't tell you what it was about or exactly what I heard because my brain was still pretty fried at that point. Mm-hmm. But what I do remember is as soon as the meeting was over, and five guys just, like, cornered me and wanted to know about me, how I was doing, you know, when was the last time I had a drink. You know, do you want to go out for coffee? We can talk some more. We can tell you about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I was like a little bit shocked, you know, stunned a little bit. Why are these, you know, suspicious? You know, what is the deal here? Mm-hmm. But within a few moments, I could the feeling came over me that these men were coming to me because I did recognize that the people, when they were talking, were telling my story. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. So I knew these people did understand exactly how serious it was for me. And somehow they found a way out. And I knew they were coming to me from a place of love and caring and really, really, really wanted to help me, you know, get over it. And it worked.
You know, here you are today.
They gave me a schedule. They gave me a bunch of phone numbers. I was totally unemployable at that point, so I didn't have anything else to do.
Right. That's kind of the cool thing, you know, that, well, not cool, but you know what I mean. Yeah. At least you then had something to do that was positive.
Yeah, I had gas in my truck. I love coffee. I smoked like a fiend. Mm-hmm. So I fit right in, and, you know, I went to every meeting that I could go to every day. You know, sometimes those early morning meetings, I'd mm-hmm. wake up in the morning just like stark raving wide awake at 5 o'clock for no good reason. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, there's a meeting at 6. I'm going. My wife, like, get out of here. Fine. She was kind of fed up with me at that point, understandably. And I'd go to new meetings, and then I'd go to a meeting at night, sometimes two at night, if there were two at night, mm-hmm. you know, and they're everywhere. And it worked. It was the only thing I've done that worked. And it only took following 12 suggestions and working them. And I eventually got a sponsor who translated some of the book to me, which mm-hmm. seemed like it was, I thought it was written in Chinese. I thought they gave me
everything,
like a Chinese version.
Everything
of it.
Was written in Chinese back then, you know? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And if you want to go to an AA meeting, go to an AA meeting. You can't go wrong. If you don't like it, get up and walk out. People do that too.
Yeah, that's been
Although don't
happened.
Be surprised if somebody follows you.
Right.
Because that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, need to make sure you're okay.
Sometimes it takes a little one-on-one to get you back in.
Yeah, some people have some anxiety with big rooms of people, you right. know.
And if you're afraid of commitment, don't go by me because it's been 25 years now and I'm still going.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Never hurts.
I wanted to mention that as I was looking through the NA app that I have on my phone, there are meetings over the internet and so on. So.
You know? Yeah. There,
you know,
there
you go.
Internet chat rooms that are AA related, although not necessarily endorsed by AA, but
no,
you know, people put them up.
Yeah.
And so. You can go there, but there's nothing like face-to-face people that really care about you.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you for listening to Recovery Radio today on KRFP in Moscow and Pullman. We'll see you again next week.
And remember, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol, you do.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Serve some.